We're continuing in the Shurim and Sefer Amidos. We're up to the chapter that deals with Emes, and we're up to item Ches. Rabbein Azal says, Miruach piv shel hashakron nasa hayetzahara, that from the breath of a person that tells lies is created the Yetzahara. A person who tells lies, literally, their words end up creating Yetzahara. U'kishayovoi Moshiach, oz lo yiye sheker, and when Moshiach will come, there won't be any more lies. U'bishvilzeh lo yiye Yetzahara bo'ilam. And because of that, there won't be any more Yetzahara in the world. This is the statement from Rabbein Azal. Now, we know that the Gemara many times says that when Moshiach comes, Kimolo ha'oretz deos Hashem, that a certain light is going to be turned on where people are going to be able to see things much more accurately than we see them now. The Gemara says that when Adam HaRishon was created originally, his vision was misoif ha'olam ad soifoi. He had the power to be able to see from one end of the world to the other. And as a result of his eating from the Eitz Hadas, this vision became clouded and became lessened to the point where we know that a human being today is very limited in what they're able to see in terms of distance or in terms of being able to see the truth readily. Here, Rabbein Azal says that this, when Mashiach comes, the Emes is going to be Nizgala in a very big way, and as a result, there won't be any Yetzahara. Now this item, Rabbein Azal, bases on a pasuk in Zechariah HaNavi, in Perek Yud Gimel, pasuk Beis, where the Navi says, V'hoyo bayoim hahu, no'um Hashem tzvokois, that Hashem says to the Jews that on that day, when Mashiach will come, achris es shmois ho'atzabim min ho'oretz, Hashem says, I will erase all the idols from the world, v'lo yizkru oid, there won't be any trace of them left, V'gam es hanavim, and also the prophets, I'll erase the prophets. And Rashi HaKodesh says this means the Nevi'e Sheker, the false prophets, will be eliminated. V'es ruach hatumo a'avir min ha'oretz, and the ruach hatumo, the spirit of impurity, will be removed from the world. The Meforshim point out that this is the remez in this sentence, the fact that the Pasuk puts these two items together. V'gam es hanavim, Hashem will eliminate the Nevi'e Sheker, the false prophets, the esruach hatumo a'avir min ha'oretz, and he will eliminate the ruach tumah from the world. Ruach tumah is a nickname that's used quite often in the Torah for the Yetzahara. So we see the connection. This is a hint in this pasuk to the connection between these two items. And it's based on this that Rabbein Azal made this statement that a person should know that when they tell lies, they're increasing the Yetzahara in the world. When Mashiach comes, the Torah says that lies will be eliminated, and as a result, the Yetzahara will also be eliminated. And this is within the power of each and every single person. This is a test that a person undergoes many times during the day. A person runs into a situation where sometimes it's more comfortable or less comfortable to tell the truth. And here the Torah is telling us that each and every single time that a person passes such a test and is particular to tell the truth, the person is lessening their own personal Yetzahara by doing so, and automatically lessening the power of the Yetzahara in the world in general. The next item Rabbein Azal says, which is connected to this item, as we'll see in a minute, item number nine, Mi Shehu Ish Emes, a person who's honest, azai hu makir ba'acher im achar doiver sheker im lav. Such a person can recognize in a second person whether they're telling a lie or not. And this is again an item that comes up very often. This world is called in the Gemara the Olam HaSheker, the world of lies. And we would certainly say that a majority of people are not in the habit of telling the truth, certainly not all the time. And a person would want to know, that means that in a sense I'm walking in a minefield, I'm interacting with people constantly, and they're telling me different things, and there are times that I assume that what they're telling me is true, and based on that I make certain decisions that could result in my hurting myself or hurting other people, chas v'shalom, or causing all kinds of damage to take place. So imagine if a person had a tool by which they would be able to tell, a person had a special kind of instrument that they could point at somebody that would be able to tell, give this person a lie detector test, whether the person is telling the truth or not. And Rabbi Nizal says here, it's very simple. It's up to you. That if you'll work on yourself and elevate yourself to a level where you are Isho Emes, where you're a person of truth, and you're trustworthy, your word is a word, and you don't tell lies, and you don't go around the truth, but you're truthful in every way that a person's supposed to be, then you'll see that when a person speaks to you, when they tell you something, if they're telling you the truth, you're going to be able to feel it, you're going to be able to see it. And if they're telling you something that's untrue, it's going to clash with you. Because your Midas HaEmes is where it's supposed to be, you're going to see that you're not going to be able to accept lies as truths. And this item, the Meforshim point out, Rabbeinu Zal bases on the continuation of that pasuk in Zechariah that we quoted before. The pasuk we quoted before was pasuk Beis. Pasuk Gimel, in that chapter, chapter Yud Gimel says, that after Hashem said that there won't be any Nevi'ei Sheker and the Ruach HaTum will be removed from the world, the pasuk says, "V'hoyo ki inovei ish oid," and if a person will attempt to give any false prophecy at this time, after this Sheker has been eliminated, "V'amru elav oviv ve'imo yoldov loy sichye," his own parents will say to him, "You will not live." Ki sheker dibarto, because you have spoken falsehood. Meaning, they're going to be able to catch it immediately. Even parents, a lot of times people say that if you're too close to a situation, you can be fooled more easily. Parents sometimes, their own child tells them a certain story, and because it's their own child, they would want to believe it, so sometimes it's even harder for them to be able to tell what's true, what's not true. And yet here the pasuk says that when Sheker will be eliminated, then there won't be any, when a person will eliminate the Sheker from within themselves, there won't be any problem in somebody trying to sell them a false story and them not catching it. The next item that Rabbeinu Zal says, item number 10, Yud, Hasimen Shel HaSheker. Again, if a person would want to be able to tell when something is true or false, Kishiloi yaskimu olov rabim. One of the ways to be able to tell is when this item is presented before a group of people and the group finds it unacceptable, that's an indication of sheker. That's the first half of this statement. And then Rabbeinu Zal concludes by saying, V'hu mishloisha shehakadosh baruch hu soinon. And this type of person, a person who doesn't tell the truth, is one of the three types of people whom Hashem hates. These two items, Rabbeinu Zal says in one statement. Now let's take this one piece at a time. The first item, for a person to be able to tell whether something is true or not, they can tell by whether a group finds it acceptable or not. This item, the Meforshim say, is based on a story in the Gemara. The Gemara in Brachos relates an incident where there was a machlokes between Rabban Gamliel and the Chachomim regarding a certain halacha. We know that when a person eats bread or items in that class, the bracha that's made after it is Birkas HaMozoin, which consists of three brachas that are d'oraisa. The three brachas that are d'oraisa are the first three, Hazon es hakoil, Hazon barachmo es hakoil, as some say. The second one is Al Horetz v'Lamozoin. And the third one is Boinei Barachmo v'Yerushalayim Amein. The fourth bracha, the Gemara says, was added on afterwards. It's Midrabonon, according to most opinions. This is the bracha that's said after a person eats food, bread that's made from chita or se'ora, different grains. There is a machlekes among the rabbis, since these items, wheat and barley, are mentioned together in the pasuk, with the 7 outstanding items that Hashem praises Eretz Yisrael for, which include dates and olives and other items. There's a machlekes among the rabbis as to what bracha should be said after a person eats dates, for example, since it's mentioned in the same pasuk as part of the 7 items which are used to praise Eretz Yisrael, in a sense putting it in the same category as wheat. Rabban Gamliel said that the bracha that should be said after eating dates is the Sholosh Brachos, which means Birkas Hamazon, benching. A full benching should be said after eating dates. The Chachomim said that the bracha that should be said is Birchas Me'ein Sholosh, which is a nickname for Al HaMichya or Al HaEitz. It's one bracha that's a combination of 3. It's 3 brachas rolled into 1. If a person analyzes the Al HaMichya, they see that it has representation of all the 3 first brachas of Birkas HaMazon. So the Gemara says there was this debate among the rabbis, and there was once an incident where they were sitting together at a mesibah, they had eaten, and it came time to say the bracha after the food, and the Gemara says Rabban Gamliel offered Rabbi Akiva the honor of being the one to say the bracha to be mitzi the others. Interestingly, in those days, and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch also, it was the custom that the person who led the Birkas HaMazon, for example, today when we have a mezuman and we have one person leading the benching, what we do today is usually that person simply leads the opening of the benching, and then everyone else benches by themselves. As soon as the person finishes the words, Baruch Shechalnu Mishelo V'tuva Chayinu, everybody else starts on their own. The Shulchan Aruch in the tour, and certainly going back to the Gemara, says that in those days it was common that the person who led the opening of the benching was the one who would say the entire benching out loud, and everybody else would simply answer Amen to their brachos. They would be mitzi the others. This is what was about to take place here. Rabban Gamliel offered Rabbi Akiva the honor of leading the benching. That's what he thought Rabbi Akiva was going to do. As soon as he gave this opening to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva quickly jumped and said Al Ho'etz. In other words, instead of saying Birchas HaMazon, which Rabban Gamliel expected him to, instead Rabbi Akiva jumped and said the Brocha Al Ho'etz, Val Pri Ho'etz, Val Eretz Chem De Toivo, which was against Rabban Gamliel's opinion, following the opinion of the Chachomim. So the Gemara says that Rabban Gamliel looked at him shocked, and Rabbi Akiva said to him, Rabbeinu, our rabbi, meaning, even though you are the Nosi, Rabbon is the title that was used for the chief rabbi. Rabban Gamliel was the Nosi at that time. He said to him, Rabbeinu, even though you are our rab, Afal Pisha Ata Omer Kain, even though your opinion is that the entire Birchas HaMazon should be said here, V'chaverecho Omerim Kain, and some of your friends even agree with you, Limadetonu Rabbeinu, you have taught us that Yochid V'Rabim Halocha K'Rabim, that when there's a debate between a minority and a majority, or certainly between an individual and a group, that the halacha is that we follow the majority. Majority rules. This is what Rabbi Akiva's response to Rabban Gamliel was. One of the mefarshim in the Ein Yaakov, which is known as the Baina, gives a little bit of clarification on this. And he says that what Rabbi Akiva was actually saying to Rabban Gamliel was, the question is, who was really right here? Which opinion was right? And the Meforshim explained that what Rabbi Akiva was saying was, Maimar Kodum Va'amitihu, that we have an old saying, an old truth that we're all familiar with, and that is, Hasheker Lo Yaskimu Olav Rabim. That sheker, something that's not true, the rabbim will not agree with it. Even though this concept, we have this joke that you can fool some of the people some of the time, the Torah says that even when you're dealing with a rabbi, even when you're dealing with a tzaddik, it's conceivable at times for an individual to be taken in by a sheker. But a rabbim, if you have a group of rabbis, they will not be taken in by sheker. And this is why the Torah gave us this rule of achrei rabim lahatois, that we go for the majority opinion, majority rules, in terms of a Bezdin, a court of Jewish law, because when it comes to an individual or a ma'at, a minority, it's possible for them to make a mistake in a certain small item, a nekuda in svara, a certain aspect of logic, where a person can feel a certain way, and then after discussing it among a group of people, they can arrive at the right conclusion, where even one who felt strongly a certain way in the beginning would be turned around to see it the way the others see it. That this is the point Rabbi Akiva was making to Rabban Gamliel. Naturally, this only holds true when there's no nitzochin involved. There are cases where a person wants to be right. A person goes into a discussion or a debate regarding an issue, and they start off with a certain opinion, and once that person has chosen a certain opinion, that person knows that they don't want to change their opinion because they're afraid that's going to make them look small, or that's going to make them look bad in the fact that they submitted to what somebody else wanted. That's called a midas hanitzochin, a person wanting to be right, wanting to come out on top. When a person has that, even when they're in a group, there's no way that they'll be able to accept the truth. However, here, naturally, we're not talking about those kind of people. We're talking about rabbis of the Gemara. And certainly in their case, the Gemara does make a statement that Hashem taught them this advice, this guidance, that when it comes to being mevarer the emes, when it comes to realizing what the truth is in a certain issue, even a Rabban Gamliel, as great a tzaddik as he was, or as great a Talmud Chacham as he was, if something appeared right to him, and it appeared wrong to the majority, he had to submit to the majority. It's interesting to note, just on a side note, related to this item, we once mentioned this in a shir. One of the Meforshim, the Bnei Yisachar, says, to show you how serious this is, and how difficult it is sometimes to arrive at the truth, the Gemara in the beginning of Gittin discusses a certain rabbi of the Gemara, Rebbe of Yosor. And the Gemara talks about his greatness, and the Gemara says that he was one of the rabbis whom Eliyahu Hanavi visited regularly. And the Gemara actually quotes one of the discussions that he had with Eliyahu Hanavi. Shortly afterwards, the Gemara discusses his opinion, Rabbi Yosser's opinion on a certain issue, and he mentions an opinion, and the Gemara challenges it, saying, who knows, how do we know if he was darshaning the pasuk correctly? How do we know if he was learning the proper pshat in the Torah? This is what the Gemara says right afterwards. So the Bnei Yisachar asks in his sefer, hold on a second, who are we talking about here? A few lines up in the page, the Gemara just told us that this rabbi was great enough, he was holy enough, to be able to have the privilege of Eliyahu Hanavi visiting him regularly and carrying on a conversation with him, which means certainly he was a pure tzaddik, and a few lines later you're questioning whether he knew the proper pshat in the Torah, whether he was learning correctly what the interpretation of the Torah was. And the Bnei Yisachar concludes from this, that from here we see that it's possible for a person to be as great a tzaddik, to be able to hold a conversation with Eliyahu Hanavi, and yet that would not prove that he is zeichet to the emes, to the purest truth in every case. Implying that this item, a concept of arriving at the nekuda of emes, the purest truth, that's one of the most difficult items that exists. And here, one of the examples of advice that the Torah gives us, that sometimes when a person feels a certain way about an item, here's where it becomes so important for a person to have friends. There are times that a person, because they're alone you're subjective, a situation comes up, and it's a question of who's right, the wife or the husband, this friend or that friend, and go figure it out. Each person has their strong opinion. And if you're locked in to only those one or two people, it becomes very difficult. But if a person has reasonable, rational friends, and they could present a certain item to a few people, not to one person, but ask a few people and see what their consensus is, Many times that in itself will show the truth. Now, a person would say, what do you mean? Go trust. On one hand, you're going to say if it's a matter of numbers, the Goyim, the 70 nations of the Goyim, easily outnumber the Jews. So if you're going to define truth in quantity, what about that? The answer is the Torah makes a statement about that. The Torah says, Kesher Rishoim Einoy Min Aminyan, that there are certain people that don't count. When we're counting numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there are certain people that add zero to the count. Among them, Rishoim, for example. So that there are certain criteria in terms of whom we include within this count. But once we exclude that group, once we're not dealing with Rishoim, a person sometimes can do themselves a very big favor in being able to understand right from wrong or truth from sheker by simply presenting a certain item to a group, to a tzibur. This is one of the aspects of advice that Rabbeinu Zal is presenting here. The second here for this statement was, v'hu mishloisho shakodesh baruch hu soinon, that a person who lies is one of the three people whom Hashem hates. Now again, how often would you find that word in the Torah? We just learned recently, just to show an example of how far Hashem is from hating a Jew, the Gemara makes a statement in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, where the Gemara says that if a Jew has 999 strikes against them, and one item in favor, one ball, and not three strikes or two strikes, one ball and 999 strikes, the Gemara says that person, Hashem puts a label, kosher, good. That person, if they had a judgment on them, the one thousandth of good would be enough to save the person. This is the Gemara's opening statement. And then the Gemara says that one of the rabbis, Rabbi Elozo, Rabbi Yossi, said, sorry, that's an understatement. And he takes the pasuk from which the Gemara proves this, and he says that's not what it means at all. It means that if a person has 999 malachim saying bad about them, and one malach saying good, and within that one malach who's presenting something positive about that person, 999 parts of that good item are no good, and one part is good, that would be enough to save the person. This is how good Hashem is. That one millionth, if a person has 999,999 parts bad and one part good, the pasuk says, Pidoehu miredes shachas, that Hashem will save that person from going down. This same Hashem, who is so benevolent and so good, so much chesed, Hashem says there are three whom I hate, and one of them is hamedaber echod bepeh ve'echod belev, a person who says one thing and means something else. They put on a facade. On the outside, they'll talk to a person a certain way, and inside, they don't really mean it at all. They'll make believe they're a person's friend when they're really not, or all different aspects of this. This Hashem hates, because this literally undermines the foundation of the world, the yesod of the world, literally. The world is based on a foundation, and that foundation is laid in the opening words of the Torah. The first three words in the Torah are Bereshis Bora Elohim, in the beginning Hashem created, and the Gemara says that the last letters of Bereshis Bora Elohim make up the word Emes, truth. That's the beginning. If you have that, we can start. There's something to work with. The minute that doesn't exist, there's no way in the world of getting away from zero. There's no way in the world of being able to get to anything positive, to the extent that the Torah makes such a statement. The next item, Yud Aleph, Rabbeinu Zal says, Oshir Mechachesh Ein hadas soivloi. A person that's wealthy and plays up to people, flatters other people, ein hadas soivloi. That's something that the mind cannot handle. that's so way out that there's no way we can rationalize that at all. A person who's wealthy and flatters other people. V'hu nivze be'enei atzmoi. And the person will end up disrespecting themselves. A person who falls into this rut eventually will end up losing all self-respect. This item is based on a Gemara in Psachim, where the Gemara says that there are four, again, the Gemara puts certain labels, categories, for certain items. The Gemara says there are four type of people which ein hadas soiv lason. The mind can't handle this. This is so way out, it's so ridiculous and irrational that there's nothing else to say about it other than it makes no sense at all. One example that the Gemara gives over there is a dal geye, a person who's poor and arrogant. That's a contradiction. Arrogance, it seems, could only possibly come to one who's wealthy or someone who feels they have something. A person who's poor, who's lacking, and is arrogant, that doesn't make any sense. A second item that appears in that category is Oshir Mechachesh, a person who's wealthy, and yet they flatter other people. And obviously this doesn't necessarily mean a person who's wealthy, a person who has $1 million in their savings account. The term Oshir, as the Torah defines it, is Sameach Bechelkoi, a person who's happy with what they have. In other words, a person who has a certain degree of satisfaction in life. For such a person to flatter other people, in other words, again, to behave falsely towards another person and think that that's going to score points with the person, or that's going to make the relationship better, or that's going to benefit them in any way, the Gemara says, Ein hadas soivloi. That's irrational, that's nutty. Which means that if a person wants that the things that they do in life should be sensible, person has to know to stay far away from this midah of playing up to anybody, of ever acting falsely towards a person when you don't really feel that this person is the greatest or the best or what they made. Sometimes a person will prepare a certain dish and a person will be falling over themselves with praise for the person, and then behind their back they'll say, I didn't like that at all. If you didn't like it, there are certain boundaries that the Torah establishes. There are certain cases where it's a mitzvah to lie. There are certain cases where the Gemara says it's debatable whether it's required or certainly permissible to lie. Leman hasholim, certain other cases, but there are lines to be drawn between what's considered normal and what's considered irrational. This item, flattery, misplaced flattery, is something that the Torah speaks against very harshly, because obviously this is something that's subtracting from Hashem. The only case where the praise can flow freely is when we're dealing with Hashem, and even there the Torah warns, the Gemara gives examples of people who started saying praises of Hashem that weren't in the Siddur or that weren't written in the Gemara, and the Gemara says they were told to stop. Because when you're dealing with Hashem, sometimes the more you say, you're actually subtracting from Hashem's greatness. Because it's as if you're saying that He's describable in words. That if I say 34 praises, that will contain the greatness of Hashem, and we know it's not really true. Just as that's not true about Hashem, the same thing is when a person overdoes it. In dealing with people, this is something that the Torah speaks out very strongly against. The Torah calls such a person Ein Hadas Soivloi, that person is considered irrational. Now the question is, if a person knows that they're not perfect in this item, or that they have problems in dealing with emes, in speaking the truth, are there any mitzvahs that a person can do that are geared towards this, towards helping a person improve they're speaking the truth? And this is the next item that Rabbeinu Zal mentions, item Yud Beis. Rabbeinu Zal says, Tikun lepeh sheyitein tzedaka. That one of the ways for a person to be misaken their mouth, to correct and improve their mouth in particular, in this item, in speaking Diburim of Emes, is by giving tzedaka. What's the connection to this? We find a pasuk in Chumash Dvarim. The pasuk says, "Moitzei sfosecho tishmor." Whatever comes out of your lips, make sure you're mekayim it. Make sure you follow it through. And the pasuk continues that any neder that you made, asher dibarto beficha, which you have spoken with your mouth, make sure to fulfill it. This is the wording in the pasuk. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and in other places asks, first of all, it seems that that word beficha in the pasuk is extra. The pasuk began with the words moitzei sfosecho tishmor, that which comes from your mouth, you should make sure to fulfill. And then it continues to say any neder that you made or anything else. And then it repeats again, kol asher yotzei beficha, whatever you'll give forth with your mouth. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah takes this pasuk, and every word that appears to be extra in this pasuk, the Gemara darshans it to teach us something additional. And the Gemara there says that when it says the word beficha, it must be coming to teach us something extra. So the Gemara says beficha zu tzedaka. The word beficha comes to tell us that not only in a person's business dealings are they required to fulfill. If a person gives a commitment to somebody else, are they required to stick to that commitment? But also when it comes to tzedaka, when it comes to charity, also beficha, a person is under obligation that the minute they say they're going to do something, even before any kinyan was made, even before any deposit was given, a person gives a deposit on a house, they know that that locks them in to a certain degree. The question is, what about when a person makes a pledge for tzedakah? How binding is the pledge itself? So the Gemara learns out from this word, beficha zu tzedakah, that the word beficha, which is extra in this pasuk, comes to teach us that when it comes to tzedakah also, once you've said it, you're bound by it. Rabbeinu Zal mentions this as a remez from the fact that the Torah tells us beficha zu tzedakah. Obviously, it implies that tzedakah is something that could help your peh. That if a person has a problem with their mouth, they have a problem telling the truth each time they're about to answer a question, and it's so easy for the truth, and somehow they're always switching lanes. They're always saying something that's almost true or close to the truth, but not the actual truth. Here the Torah advises that tzedakah is an etzah for this. And the Mefarshim quotes several additional psukim that are found in Tanakh that show the connection between these two items, between tzedakah and improving a person's speech in terms of telling the truth. The pasuk says in Mishlei, Kapitel Ches, Pasuk Hei, B'tzedek kol imrei fi, B'tzedek, through tzedakah, kol imrei fi, ein bohem niftal ve'ikesh. All the words that come from my mouth will not have any stumbling blocks. I won't stumble with my words. Through what? B'tzedek. Through this item of tzedakah, this will help me that I won't be forced to fumfa. When a person starts telling lies, usually one lie leads to another lie, and they're forced to make up the story as they're going along. This item of tzedakah is mesugal to save a person from that tripping over themselves with lies. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, Kapitel Nunches, Pasuk Beis, where the pasuk says, Tzedek tidaberun. Through tzedakah, a person who is zeicha to give tzedakah, tidaberun, that will affect their speech. That will ensure them that their dibur is mitukan u'mushlam, that the dibur is bishleimus, and that the dibur is proper. So that here we see advice, this is one of the items that a person should keep in mind when they're giving tzedakah, the fact that this should help me be zeicha, that the most important organ of the body, in a certain sense, the Gemara tells a story showing how the tongue proved itself to be the king of all the other parts of the body. In order for this king to be on the right track, that the zechusa, the tzedakah that I'm giving, should help me to be zeicha to speak the truth. The next item, item Yud Gimel, that Rabbeinu Zal mentions, al yedei emes ha'olam nishmar mikol hezekos. By people telling the truth, they actually protect the world from catastrophes. Different types of hezekos, large types of incidents that bring harm to many people, chas v'sholem, or that cause colossal damage, that can be protected and avoided through the truth. The Meforshim bring a remez to this again from a pasuk in Tehillim, where the pasuk says, Hashomer emes li'olam. Emes is considered to be the shomer for the olam, for the world. When there's truthfulness, that serves as a protection for the world. When there's a lack of truth, it's as if a person is removing all the protecting items, chas v'shalom, from having a catastrophe take place. Now, we know that this word olam is used in two different ways in the Torah. The word olam means the world, and each and every single person is also called an olam koton, a small world. When Hashem created the world originally, He created thousands of trees, thousands of birds, one person, one Adam. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, this is to teach us, one world, one person. That a person is considered to be a world. So that here, if a person is concerned about themselves, and a person has life insurance, and a person has fire insurance, and a person has home insurance, Rabbi Nizal says here, one of the best insurance policies for a person to serve as a protection is this item of emes, that this item will help protect the person from hezek. Now there are times that a person, here again Rabbi Nizal says in Likutei Moran, that if a person keeps their eyes open, people actually see miracles constantly throughout the day. There are constantly cases where things happen, and it's simply because it's moving quickly that the person doesn't get a chance to make that association. To say that because I said this, a moment later this and this happened. What happened is a person is thinking so little about what they say that they never dream that once they say something, that the words should be so meaningful. Once they said an item of emes, to watch to see what's going to result from that. Or to try, test it, tell a lie, chas v'shalom, and see if it won't bring certain results. Here, Rabbi Nizal points out that you should know that there is a connection between these two items, emes and hezek, emes and damage. And if a person wants to be zeche, to have a protection, each and every single time they're speaking, and they're particular about what they say to make sure that it's honest, this is a protection from hezek. The next item, item Yudalit, Rabbi Nizal says, Al yidei chanufa bo l'sheker. These are two words that we used before. Chanufa means flattery, sheker means lying. The Torah uses two different words for these items, because obviously they're not always identical. Chanufa sometimes could be a concept of stretching the truth a little. If this thing was good, I don't say it was good, I say it was excellent. It was very good, it was the best I ever had. And both of those words, we learned just recently that the word toiv means good, the word tuv means the best. Now how big a difference is there if I put the dot on top of the vav or in the middle of the vav? Can't be that much. It's pretty honest. That's chanufa. That's flattery. Rabbi Nizal says you should know that chanufa is a stepping stone for sheker. That once a person opens the door, once you give the sotan an inch in this item, and you're not careful in terms of how broad you are with compliments, how extravagant you are in terms of flattery, you'll see that that leads to out-and-out sheker. That opens a door for a person telling the exact opposite of the truth. Not where it's going to go from toiv to tuv, but where it's going to go from, the pasuk says, ha'oimrim lera toiv. That there are people in the world who label bad, good. They put the word good onto items that are bad, and the reverse. So that a person has to know in dealing with the satan, the Gemara tells us many times, The pasuk in introducing the Nochosh, when the Nochosh made his first appearance to Adam and Chava, the paragraph in the Torah that introduces him gives him the most fitting introduction. The opening words are, V'hanochosh hoya orum mikol chayas hasode. The Nochosh, the snake, was the slyest of all animals that existed at that time. Sly, sharp. A person who's sharp is not usually blunt, And he's not usually hasty, but a person who's willing to go slow, who's willing to take things slow enough to ensure success. So too, the Torah says many times with the Satan. The Satan, in most cases, doesn't come to a person, a good person, and present them with an avero, with an out-and-out sin, or present them with doing something bad or terrible. The Gemara uses the wording, Hayoim omer lo yaseh kach, ulamochor omer lo yaseh kach. Today he tells him to do a tiny, tiny, little itty-bitty sin, and the next day a little bigger one, and the Sultan's willing to work with the person patiently to bring the person to a point where the person will cross a big enough line, chas v'shalom, to get whacked by Hashem. In other words, to get hurt. And here Rabbeinu Zal warns specifically about this item, chanufa, to know that the Torah considers this a stepping stone for sheker. Item tesvov, whereas before we said tikun lepeh sheitein tztaka, that a tikun for a person's mouth is that they should give tztaka. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, mi shenoisein tztaka, schoroi sheyizke le'emes. We know that there are certain cases where the Torah describes the reward for a particular mitzvah. There are certain mitzvahs where Hashem says clearly that this item will lead to long life, or this item will bless a person with wealth, or this item will bless a person with children, zechorim, male children. The Gemara says, harogil b'ner, a person who's particular about the mitzvah of lighting candles, havien le'bonim zechorim, this is mesugul for male children. Here Rabbeinu Zal quotes this item, that a person who gives tzedakah, one of the rewards for tzedakah is emes, truth. And this is based on a pasuk in Mishlei, kapitel Yud-Aleph, pasuk Yud-Ches, where the pasuk says, v'zoireya tzedakah, secher emes. A person who plants tzedakah, planting implies not necessarily reaping reward immediately, but something that's down the line. A person who plants, they do a certain act, and they expect certain results to come from it long term. The secher is emes. The reward for this from Hashem is that that person will be zecher to truth, to speak truth, to live with truth, to be able to identify when somebody else is feeding them the truth. All of these items are included as part of the reward for the mitzvah of tzedakah. The next item, tes zayin, Rabbeinu Zal says, hashakron soine anivus. A person who is false cannot stand modesty. These two items clash with each other. Now here again we see a connection between two items, sheker and chanufa. We showed earlier that flattery is something that leads to falsehood, to sheker. Now Rabbeinu Zal is showing us what the opposite of sheker is. To know that anivus, modesty, which in a sense would seem to be a form of a lie. Being modest implies that if I have $100,000, I don't behave, I don't carry on like a person who has $100,000, but rather I carry on as a person who has $50,000. Or a person who has $25,000, I behave lower than my actual standard. Or if I am at a certain level of knowledge, I don't present myself at being at that level, but I present myself as being smaller than what I really am. A person would say that that's something that's close to lying. And Rabbeinu Zal shows here that you'll see that these two items clash. That anova, because this is an item that Hashem prescribes, that Hashem advocates, modesty, then obviously it's a form of truth. It's not a form of sheker. Proof is that a person who lies, you'll see immediately a resentment for modesty. And this item is based on a pasuk in Mishlei, kapitel chavov, pasuk chavches, where the pasuk says, l'shoin sheker, a person who tells lies, yisna dochyoi, will hate somebody that's humble, that's small. That there is a natural antagonism between these two. And this is to show us that, again, there are certain people who think that they know what truth is. There are certain people who don't study Torah, or they don't live by the Torah's definitions of truth or modesty or good and bad. And when a person uses their own personal judgment, a person could easily make a mistake, as in this case. A person could say, that person's a liar. I know he has more than that, or I know that he knows more than that. Why is he acting like a phony in presenting himself as less than he really is? And a person would use that to put a bad label on a person, not knowing that Hashem, who is the epitome of truth and the epitome of honesty, Hashem says that's not dishonest, that's honest. Because again, it depends on what perspective you're dealing with. If a person wants to close their eyes or look through a very narrow funnel and look at an item relative to itself, relative to himself or relative to other people that a person is living among, the person could be wealthy, the person could be smart, the person could be powerful. However, relative to Hashem, if we assume, if we start with a Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somid, that Hashem is everywhere, relative to Hashem, who's wealthy? Who's smart? Who's powerful? So for a person to be humble, that's not being dishonest. That's living in the real world. That's simply not ignoring the existence of Hashem. Sometimes this kind of honesty, a person saying, nothing to be humble about, this is the truth, and it's simply a person's narrow vision in not being able to see certain other items that are also supposed to be reckoned with in how a person presents themselves. One final item for this year, item number Yud Zayin 17, Rabbeinu Zal says, Odom Nikor Al Yedei Mishorsov Im Hu Oyhev Sheker. A person can be recognized by the people around them, by the people that serve them, the people that work for them, the people that help them, all of their helpers, assistants, workers. You can judge a person by those people around them, Im Hu Oyhev Sheker, whether that person enjoys lies. Ki ze bo ze toluy. Because you'll see that there's a connection between these two items. Lifa'omim, mishorsov noiflim laveirois, al yedei shehu shakron. There are times that a person's workers or assistants will commit sins as a result of the fact that their boss is a liar, and you'll see that this causes them to commit sins. Ulifa'omim hu noifei l'sheker, al yedei mishorsov she'enam agunim. And there are times that you'll see that if a person has people around them that are not good people, a person's workers or a person's assistants, are people that are eno hogun, you'll see that this leads the person into lying, into sheker. This item, Rabbeinu Zal says, based on a pasuk in Mishlei, where the pasuk says, Moishel makshiv al dvar sheker, a ruler who listens to lies, who accepts lies, kol mishorsov rishoim. All of his assistants and servants and workers will be rishoim. And Rashi HaKodesh and the other Meforshim explain, it's very logical. Depending on what kind of structure a person sets up, people usually, again, because people aren't necessarily living by truth, many people will give a person what the person wants, or what they perceive this person to want. If they know that a person enjoys flattery, then they'll flatter him. What? Not for his own benefit, because they know that this is a way that they can get good out of him. They'll get a raise by making the person, by giving the person what he wants to hear, feeding him what he wants to hear. And this item, the Torah warns, that depending on how a person sets themselves up, that's what's going to determine how people around them act towards them. A person can't always assume that it's their fault. A person sees people flattering them or people acting to them in a false way. Sometimes a person has to look at themselves and say, where did I give this person the opening to think that I would accept such an item, that this is what I would be looking for, that this is what I would want? Because obviously, if this is what the person's feeding me, it's logical, it's because they think this is what I want to hear, or this is what I want to receive. And Rabbeinu Zal says, you should know that this item will work both ways. if the person, if the Moishel is a shakron, then the people around him, it'll lead them to lies and averois, other kinds of averois. And so too, if a person is an honest person and they surround themselves with people that are dishonest, the Gemara says, Al tamin bi'atzmucha ad yoy moischa, that no person should be too overconfident about themselves. A person will say, I know myself and I'm an honest person and I wouldn't fall in. The Torah advises, Harchek mishochein ra. If you see people that are bad, unless you really have what to be confident about, keep your distance. And in this case, if a person surrounds themselves with mishorsim, with workers, assistants, people that are bali avera, Rabbi Nizal says this will definitely reflect on the person and it'll lead them into sheker. Halavai, we should be zeche in the zechus of understanding, realizing how much the Torah praises this item and the different ways that we're going to show that all aspects of the Torah are plugged into this. If we could at least try to improve ourselves a little bit every day in coming closer to the emes, in speaking emes and in seeking emes, in that zechus we should be zeche to see what Rabbi Nizal mentioned before, the coming of the time when Moshiach will come, when Hashem promises us that all sheker will be eliminated completely, and once the sheker will be eliminated, then automatically the ra also, the ruach tumo yavir min oretz, Hashem will remove the ruach tumo from the world, and will be zeche to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, meher v'yameinu, amen v'yameinu.